time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown this afternoon on Fox Sports Radio 1400, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining me here today. You know, we talk a lot of football throughout the season, throughout the year, but today is a special day. We're going to talk some baseball. I want to bring in a special guest.
Out to the hotline we go. We welcome in from the PeskyPole.net, Mike Dabreski. Mike, what's up, brother?
What's going on, buddy? Happy opening day.
I know opening day is like we're a little late, and that's okay. 60-game season for Major League Baseball. What, a couple of matchups tonight? I think it's what Yankees, Nationals, Dodgers, Giants. That's the two big games tonight, right?
That's the two games tonight. A little doubleheader action, late night action as well, which I like. I'm a night owl, so I'm looking forward to a little Dodger, Giants, followed by the Yankees and Nationals to kick things off.
I want to talk about the Braves in a little bit, but I tell you what, the Yankees are, they look from top to bottom to be just absolutely loaded. I think that they're kind of the preseason favorite, if you're not a hater, to take on the whole thing.
I think they're better than the Dodgers. I think the Yankees and Dodgers are kind of the two teams kind of ahead of everybody else, talent-wise. Unfortunately, if you're a Yankee fan, and I'm not a Yankee fan, but if you're not a Yankee fan, the 60-game season is not really good for you because just from the standpoint, usually the longer the season plays out, the better chance the better team has to win. And so if you're only playing 60 games and you have the most talented team, you bring more teams into the fray. So I still think they're going to win their division, but it's not as, you know, set up if they're playing a full 162.
Yeah, and you're right about that. Generally, the numbers and the talent kind of come to the top after a while when you have that full 162. But, you know, we don't really have the adage this year of the whole, you know, you win 54, you lose 54. It's what you do in the other 54. You could have a team get red hot and ride themselves to a World Series.
And it's true. And I've been trying to, you know, I'm not thrilled. I mean, This whole year has been horrible, but I've been trying to pump myself up, and I'm about a week ago I got excited about this. I just kind of, you know, told myself, listen, you're going to pretend it's July 23rd, and every team's tied for first. Okay, pretend all the games have been played already, and we're sitting here now with 60 games to go in the season, and we have all these pennant races, and see what happens, you know. And it's a little bit strange, but it's better than nothing, and hopefully they can play the whole season and get the postseason in and all that stuff.
That's kind of a good way to look at it. Everybody's 51 and 51. You got your last 60. Let's go.
That's right.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really thought of it that way. That's why we bring Mike Dabreski from the PeskyPole.net on, because he brings the stats that I didn't think about. You know, we mentioned the Yankees, but I think they're the darling of the American League. You know, you mentioned the Dodgers in the National League. They've spent a ton of money, but they're basically platooning some folks at second base. That's an interesting situation going on with the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've a couple of things have happened to the Dodgers. David Price opted out, and I think he would have had a good year this year, but he opted out. Gavin Lux, who's their phenom prospect second baseman, has been sent down. And I haven't really – there's a story, an unpublished story that haven't really been told yet. Something's going on with him. I don't want to speculate with that, but it's not an injury. And so they sent him down, and we're still trying to figure out why. But that's a big loss there. They still are loaded. I mean, Mookie Betts, Kershaw, you know, Walker Buehler has been a little arm tenderness during the summer camp, so that's something to watch for. So I think they're more vulnerable right now than the Yankees are. But that being said, the division they're in is not a really good division. I mean, the Giants are rebuilding. The Rockies aren't there yet. The Padres are kind of the exciting young team. I'm just not sure they have enough. But in a 60-game season, who knows? The Padres could jump on, get hot, and the Dodgers could be vulnerable. Who knows what happens there? So,
you know, you mentioned Mookie Betts, and, of course, Betts played for the Boston Red Sox, the teams that that you focus on at the PeskyPole.net. I'm reading the contract, 13 years, $392 million. My goodness, man. When are the? I mean, they're going to contracts are going to continue to go up, but they're going to give this guy almost $400 million to play baseball. Do you think Betts is worth that contract? Because I don't think any player is worth that much.
Well, worth is relative. Now, I will say this. The next time we get into a collective bargaining agreement and the owners cry that they're poor, please point out this salary. I'm sick of the owners acting like we're struggling here. No, you're not. You're fine. But is he worth it? I mean, it's a 13-year deal. The long-term deals are good and bad in some ways. They're good because you can sit there and say, well, listen, in 10 years from now, he could be underpaid with his salaries going by. Now, the bad thing is, in 10 years from now, he could be a shell of himself. You know, I'm not sure how well he's going to age. That's the problem. You know, Red Sox fans are kind of upset. You know, personally, listen, as the Red Sox fans, he gave us his best. He won two rings with us. He was in his prime. You know, let the other team kind of take on the aging Mookie Betts. I mean, he'll be good for a while, but he's not going to be what he was, you know, at the end of his deal, what he is now. So, you know, I think it's a good deal for everyone. I'm happy Mookie Betts. It's hard not to like him. I mean, he is a great player, a great guy. Kids love him. He plays the game the right way. And I'm happy for him because he's in L.A. He's happy there, making lots of money, playing for a great organization with lots of young players, a great farm system. So he's set up pretty good for himself.
Well, I'm not. I mean, if he can get it, that's great. But I don't think that's great for the game of baseball, in my opinion. But and here's my main reason why. Albert Pujols is making $29 million this year. Last season, he hit .244.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, the math on that doesn't work. I mean, does that make sense at all? Because you've got guys that are much better players than Albert Pujols that are making the league minimum. I mean, Ronald Acuna is a better player than Albert Pujols, and he's not making anywhere near that.
Well, that's how baseball is different, in that the fact that a lot of times in your prime, you're playing on your cost-controlled contract. You don't get paid until you have 6 years of Major League service. And that's one of the things the players are trying to change, because the owners have been getting smarter. Now, this deal right here kind of flies in the face of that. But the owners have not been giving out the big deals as much to guys who are getting close to 30 years old like they used to. Baseball used to always pay on what you've done. And that's why Albert Pujols got that money. They paid him on what he's already done. And now smarter GMs coming in, they want to pay you based on what they think you will do. And the players don't like that because they're not getting paid what they used to. And what they were going to try to do in this next collective bargaining agreement is try to get it where that six-year mark is lowered maybe 5 years or 4 years, so they can get free agency sooner and get paid more. But, this is a deal that's kind of old school in a way, and that you're paying Mookie Betts, you know, on what he's done in the past, what he can do in the next few years. But it's L.A. as well. It's the Dodgers. They want a star. And Mookie Betts is a star. It's kind of a little different than, say, if you're the Reds or the Indians and those things. So, you know, the Dodgers will be okay. But, I mean, not many teams will make this deal. I mean, the Red Sox didn't make this deal. And the Red Sox didn't feel comfortable doing this deal. And they know Mookie Betts. And they play with Mookie now. So they didn't feel comfortable going this far in his deal that he wanted.
I just think it's just wow. When I see that, because then the first contract that comes to mind is Pujols' contract. Not to mock Albert Pujols, because when he was known as the machine, he was a machine, but now he's hitting .244 and he's getting paid $29 million, and the Angels are paying a $24 million luxury tax for him. So it's a mess.
That's not for the Angels. If you're Pujols, though, how you justify it is, well, all those years I was hitting .350. I was getting paid the league minimum, you know, so it's time that now I'm getting my money back. Now, for the Angels, they get the bad part of the deal because he wasn't with them back then. He was with the Cardinals. So the Angels kind of get screwed in the deal, which is why these long-term deals are not always the smartest way of going.
You know, the interesting thing about that was he never hit above .285 with the Angels after having, you know, seasons where he's hitting .357, 327, 331, all those great years with the Cardinals. He's never hit above 285 with the Angels, but now they're still paying him that mammoth contract. The economics on that just don't work, in my opinion. But
and it hurts Trout too, because you could use that money, say, for a couple pitchers. You know, everyone wants to see Mike Trout in the World Series. You know, he's the best player in baseball, and we don't get to see him. Well, part of the deal is making a deal like that for Pujols. I mean, I think if they can go back in time, I mean, everyone kind of warned them about this too. It wasn't like this is a shock when they made the deal. People kind of warned, but I think they're trying to show they're legitimate. They're being serious. But I mean, just be serious with your win totals. Go out there and be smarter and surround the best player in baseball with some protection, but not like a guy that can produce later on and get some pitchers and relievers and get the Angels to be somewhat worthy of contention.
Right. Well, and of course, next year they're paying him $30 million more. So
yeah,
he has the worst contract in baseball right now. And he's not even doing any. I think it's the worst contract because they've got to pay him this year and next year. And he's hitting .244, so what can he bring any team? They can't even dangle him as somebody at the trade deadline as, hey, this guy might help you with a playoff bat or whatever, because I don't think the Angels are going to be that great. I mean, they're just stuck. It's just
that
wow,
probably is the worst deal. I'm trying to think of, and I know I'm forgetting one more, but he probably beats that one. But
well, you're the baseball expert. I put that to you. I mean, I think he has the worst contract in Major League Baseball as far as for the team. The best for him, hey, I go out and hit .244, and I'm going to get $29 million. But guess what? If somebody else on the team was hitting .244, they probably get DFA'd. So, I mean, that's just the way that it works, but what a mess that is. All right, well, let's talk about some other teams. Let's talk about the Atlanta Braves for a minute. They had a couple of interesting things happen here during the pandemic as far as in the outfield. Nick Markakis says, hey, I'm not going to play. And so they go and they sign Yasiel Puig. Yasiel Puig contracts the coronavirus. They don't have him. I mean, just kind of a, you think that Braves are going to get that extra bat, and then all of a sudden they just don't. And I think that makes it a little more interesting for the Braves in the outfield. They're set with Acuna, I get that. But, you know, you still got those other couple of spots there. It's going to be interesting to see how the Braves and how Snitker works his rotation with that.
Yeah, well, at the time when they signed Puig, you know, Freddie Freeman was still not back yet, and we weren't sure what was going on with him with the virus. And so I like the move kind of because without Freeman, the lineup gets real short real quick, and Puig helps you out there. And, of course, after that fell through, Freeman came back. He's healthy. He's swinging, you know, looking pretty good at the plate now. So that's taken care of. So I think they'll be okay. They have Marcell Ozuna, who will probably be their DH. He'll probably DH a little bit. Austin Riley could be DH-ing. So I think the lineup's pretty stacked. And Riley hit two home runs yesterday, and that could be a sign of good things to come. He's a streaky player, and it's a 60-game season. If he can start out hot, okay, and kind of carry them a little bit, he doesn't have to really carry them. He's got Freeman and Acuna and Ozzy Albies. But if he can kind of be in the bottom half of the order there, and he gets off to start to get off to last year, that could change things up real quick. So I think the Braves are, pretty good. I think it helps them a lot, the rest of the division. The Mets I like a lot, but they have now lost Noah Syndergaard and Marcus Stroman. They come back to the pack a little bit. The Nationals lost their best player, Anthony Rendon. I'm not sure about their bullpen. The Phillies, it's a great division. You got four teams that can all win it, and a Marlins team that can't really win it, but they're talented enough that they can mess things up for a team. And I think the team that wins the NL East with a team that has the best record against the Marlins, I think the Marlins are going to decide who wins that division.
One of the areas that I like for the Braves, it seems like they've got every year I end up late at night watching Braves games, and you have guys that in the bullpen that just aren't quite what you need them to do or need them to be. But this season, it seems like the Braves have the back end of that rotation looks really good. I question enough with the starters. And I thought that Fulton Davis made the turn last year. He seems like he can throw whatever he wants, but to me, I don't know if the Braves are deep enough on the starting staff, and it's going to be kind of backwards because normally the bullpen is the light end, but this year it looks like the pitching staff may not be, you know, from top to bottom what it should be.
Well, back in February, you know, I was telling my Braves friends, you know, to kind of pump the brakes a little bit. I thought the Braves may go back a little bit this year, just for that reason you mentioned. I thought last year things kind of came together for them, and maybe they're a little bit better than their record was last year. And so now with the 60-game season, it's all kind of thrown out the window. So I think Soroka is going to have to be really, really good. Like, he's got to be, you know, a true ace. He can't just be average or above average. He needs to be an ace in that division. And you've got DeGrom and Max Scherzer in the division and Aaron Nola. So he's got to live up to those guys. And then you're going to have to make sure Max Fried can step up. And Folty is a big kind of a wild card because he seems like mentally is where the struggles are. He's got all the stuff in the world, and you wonder how that started last year in the playoffs when they scored 10 runs in the first inning. You wonder how that will affect him for the rest of his career. Will he make that as a turning point for him, or will that be something that just keeps him from ever being really, really good? So that's the big question with the Braves. They're starting pitching. Their offense, their lineup-wise, is deep. It's probably the deepest. You can argue with them for the deepest National League. I think with the Dodgers right there, with Gavin Lux not in there, you can argue the Braves. The question is the starting pitching good enough? Will Smith, who they picked up in the offseason from the Giants, is a really good bullpen arm. He had the coronavirus, too. I'm not sure how he's doing. I'm assuming he's coming back here soon. They'll need him a lot, though. So that's a big factor as well.
You know, there's a lot of hatred amongst Atlanta fans with Jackson from the bullpen. I don't get the hate for this guy. He comes out and throws strikes. I mean, is this just people that just don't get it?
People, baseball fans are a special breed. I mean, it's, you know, they play every day, and you start getting these these biases against your own guys sometimes, you know. You see him have a rough outing and not be who he becomes. Listen, if he was at the closer, I'd be worried. But now he's in a setup role, middle relief role. I think it'll be very valuable this year because you're going to need pitching. You're going to need arms, and I think he'll be very valuable this year, and he'll be a big part of it. But I don't want him the back part of the of the bullpen, you know, get him in the sixth inning or so, and have him come in there and get three or four outs. I think it'll be huge.
You know, one other thing I want to get into as far as setup for this season, with it only being a 60-game stretch, I wonder how managers are going to pace their pitching staffs. What I mean by that is that you've got 60 games now. They've had extra time to rest, in theory. You know, it's... How do you think that's going to go? I mean, you think guys are going to get the same kind of days off? Because this really is a sprint now. It's not a marathon.
I think you're going to see it position players-wise. There's going to be no more scheduled days off, you know, and no more throwaway games either. And you can see it sometimes, too, where you'll see a team on a Wednesday afternoon, okay, they're ending their road trip, and they put a lineup out there, and it looks like the AAA team.
Braves-Rockies. Braves-Rockies, yeah. On Wednesdays when the Braves have to play in Colorado and fly back to Atlanta to play Thursday night. I mean, they literally have none of the regular lineup in. Yeah.
And it's not like you're trying to lose the game. You're trying to win the game. And the snicker, the manager, whoever it is, he's trying to win that game with those guys. And he's trying to – it's not like he's going to take a nap, but he's looking at the long term. He's like, listen – we got to get some guys some rest, okay? If we win today's game, it's a bonus. And we're going to try to win the game, but it's a bonus. And hopefully, you know, a lot of times the special teams and the special years, they win those games. Some guy like Matt Diaz from the Braves are back, or, you know, or it hits a big three-run shot, has a two-homer game. And like, man,
Brooks,
you know.
Brooks Conrad.
And that's how you win those things. Yeah.
Brooks Conrad's another one, yeah.
And that's how you have special seasons. But I don't think you're going to see it this year. Because you can't really afford to do that now. It's not like you have no excuse of, well, we're kind of trying to save them. Well, save them for what? It's 60 games to go. You know, they speed rested up. As for pitching, you have a lot of pitchers now on your team, especially early in the year. I'm curious to see what they'll do. The big thing, too, is their new rule change now. You bring a reliever in, he's got to face three guys. And I'm curious to see how that changes a manager's strategy. You know, what I hope happens is they stick with their starting pitcher longer. Because if you look at their lineup and say, well, listen, they got a lefty hitting third. You know, I don't want my reliever to face that guy because I don't have a lefty to get him out. You may just stick with your starter for a little bit longer, which is good. I like to get back to the starter going a little bit deeper. So I kind of like the new rule change. It kind of plays baseball. It's trying to make baseball play like it did back in the 80s when I was a kid. You bring a reliever out. He comes in to face multiple batters. He don't come to face one guy. He comes in to do things. When I was a kid, Goose Gossage of the Yankees would come out in the seventh inning to save the game. He pitched the last three innings. You didn't have like, okay, set up guy A, set up guy B, all right, lefty specialist, okay, now bring in the closer. And so I'm not saying we'll get back to that, but we're getting closer to that with a new rule change. So I'm looking forward to that. The extra inning rule, Rob. All right, so the extra inning rule, for those who don't know, this year, just for this year now, during regular season games, when a game goes to extra innings, the guy starts at second base. Now, this started in the minor leagues last year. I was adamantly against this rule. I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world. I went to a Fireflies game last year. It was extra innings. They did it, and it sold me. It was exciting. It was really cool to see the wheels spinning in the manager's heads. There's all kinds of things you can do. Do you walk the guy? Do you bunt him over? So I think all the fans who hate the rule right now, I think by the end of the 60-game season, they're going to love the extra inning rule. And I think you're going to see it come in for future seasons. That's my prediction.
You know, one of the other interesting things here, we were talking about stretching out your pitching staff or how they're going to handle the arms, et cetera. The Braves play their first game on the 24th of June. They don't get a day off until the 20th of August. Wrap your head around that for just a second. So they'll essentially almost play half the season before they get an off day. So that's interesting, too. But, you know, my final thing this afternoon with Mike Dabreski from the PeskyPoll.net, they do have the DH. Do you think that with this rule for the National League, since teams haven't had the time to really set up money aside for that to have that DH, do you think that the National League kind of comes into this season at a disadvantage?
I think some teams do. I think some teams, it helps them. You know, I think it helps the Braves. I think the Braves with Ozuna and Duvall and Riley and Camargo, I think there was a guy who had to sit out all the time. And now with the DH, you actually have a spot for someone. So it helps teams like that. Teams that have kind of, you know, the Mets, it helps, okay? You've got Yonas Cespedes coming back now. Cespedes can't run. He runs like you and I do right now, okay? His heel problems. He can still hit, though. Like, he can hit big time. Well, now, if this was a normal season, he basically would not really be able to play. He'd be pinch hitting. They'd try to play him on left field. He'd probably get hurt again. Well, now he's their DH, and he's in a contract year. So, you know, it helps teams. So certain teams, it helps. Certain teams, they have lots of depth in the National League, and trying to get guys time, it helps them immensely. Other teams that, you know, haven't planned for it, it is a disadvantage for them, for sure.
All right, Mike Dabreski from the PeskyPoll.net. Looking forward to baseball tonight, even though the first game of the season, Major League Baseball has to stick the Yankees down our throat. Anyway, it'll still be interesting to watch some baseball tonight. I'm going to pipe in the crowd noise. I don't know if I was watching some of the Braves game the other night, and they piped in some crowd noise. You could kind of hear it. It's like, whoa, that's interesting,
it's
but
weird.
There's nothing in the stands.
I've been watching. It's weird, but it is what it is. I mean,
got to do what you got to do.
You know, what's that?
Got to do what you got to do. I mean, that's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. It'd be a cool thing to tell our grandkids one day that this is what, you know, we looked like at highlights 20 years from now. Like, Dad, Grandpa, what are they doing? What is that? Well, that's during the pandemic, and they're, you know, no one's in the crowd, but. you know, it is what it is. It's better than nothing. And hopefully come April, next baseball season, we're back to normal. We're back to crowds. And we're back to 162 games. And we're back to all that stuff here. But this will be interesting to see what happens. We get baseball, knock on wood. We get it for 60 games in the playoffs and all that good stuff.
Well, there you go with that. All right, so looking forward to opening day today. Of course, folks can follow you online. You're at where are you at on Twitter?
At the Pesky Pole. You can follow me.
At the Pesky
and
Pole.
And you can check out my blog. It's actually my blog's me changing slightly. It's going from the PeskyPole.net to PeskyPole.net. Long story. But so check it out there. It should be up and flying by tomorrow morning. So PeskyPole.net. You can check me out there with daily projections and all that good stuff if you're a fantasy baseball person and all that stuff there as well.
Well, you mentioned that. I've got my fantasy baseball picks for tonight's game coming up here shortly. So I'll have those for the listeners here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, Mike, man, once again, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Rob.
More of The Rundown when we come back. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400.